The Iranian presidential hopefuls are to hold their first face-to-face debate on Friday. Iran says dialogue is the only way to terminate Syrian crisis. Russia says opposition groups are provoking military intervention in Syria. Syrian army makes more advancements against foreign-backed militants. And a large number of people have lost their lives in a series of bomb explosions across Iraq. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, hello and welcome back. I'm Ali Rıza Madadi with the late edition of Iran in English News coming to you live from Tehran. First of all, the eight Iranian presidential hopefuls who were vetted by the Iranian Guardian Council from among the registered candidates are going to hold a face-to-face debate on Friday. The debate, which is the first to be held in the presidential race, will start at 15 through 17 Tehran time. Now, the chairman of Iran's Majlis, or the Parliament's National Security and Foreign Policy Commission, says dialogue is the only way to put an end to the Syrian crisis. Alaeddin Burujerdi made the remark on Thursday, expressing objection to military confrontation in Syria. Burujerdi said the countries which dispatched weapons to the Syrian rebels have got to know that the issue cannot be resolved through military confrontation. He also called on influential countries to take immediate measures to stop the massacre of Syrian people by terrorist groups. On negotiations between the representatives of the Syrian government and the opposition in Tehran and Damascus, he expressed the hope that the continuation of such talks would lead to restoration of security in the country. Now, Russia says the foreign-sponsored Syrian opposition coalition is seeking to thwart the peace efforts and provoke military intervention in Syria through any means. Russia's foreign minister said early on Thursday that the Syrian opposition's demands that the Syrian government should resign before the start of talks on a political settlement were both unacceptable and unrealistic.
An impression is being created that the Syrian National Coalition and, first of all, its regional sponsors are doing everything possible to prevent the start of a political process of Syrian settlement and are using all means, including dishonest manipulation with public opinion in the West, to achieve military intervention in Syria. We consider such approaches unacceptable.
Now, the Syrian army has made major advancements against foreign-backed militants in the main port city of Latakia, inflicting heavy losses on terrorist groups. On Thursday, a number of terrorists from al-Nusra Front group were killed in intense clashes with the Syrian troops in the Rehaniya district of the city. Syrian troops also clashed with militants in another neighborhood of Latakia, killing and injuring a number of foreign-sponsored militants. A rocket launcher and a military base used by the militants were also destroyed in the operations. A terrorist commander, identified as Abu Abdel, was also among the slain militants. Now, security and medical officials say at least 30 people have been killed and 72 more wounded in a series of bomb explosions across Iraq. Most of Thursday's blasts went off in Baghdad. Car bombs killed four in the northeastern Shia neighborhood of Binga, and three died in a bombing at a market selling spare car parts in the center of the capital. According to police in eastern Baghdad, a car bomb went off near an army patrol, killing four and wounding 17. In Baghdad's north, a car bomb exploded in a commercial area, killing six civilians and wounding 17 others. Also in the capital's north, a car bomb struck near a military convoy, killing three people, including two soldiers. Another 14 people were also wounded in the attack. Another police patrol was struck in the southern neighborhood of Saidiya, injuring six people. In the northern city of Mosul, two police officers said a suicide bomber killed three when he blew himself up at the federal checkpoint. And to the west of Mosul, a suicide attacker drove his explosive-laden car into a security checkpoint, killing two members of the security forces and two civilians. Now, Iraqi officials have voiced their concern at the deteriorating security situation in the country as the latest eruption of violence killed many people across Iraq. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the Thursday attacks, but blame is likely to be put on Al-Qaeda in the country. Iraqi Foreign Minister Hushyar Zebari acknowledged it was the government's responsibility to try and halt further attacks.
This daily or patterns of car bomb attacks, daylight, let's say, in Baghdad and some other cities is really unacceptable. I mean, for the people of Iraq who have suffered so much. And that's why you see the anger in people's eyes and statement is different from previous attacks, because there has been a pattern of these attacks, and it's the government's responsibilities to redouble its efforts, to revise its security plans, to contain this wave, to prevent that from sliding into sectarian conflict or war, as I and you witnessed in 2006-2007.
Now, a U.S.-led foreign trooper has been killed in an improvised explosive device attack in eastern Afghanistan. The U.S. military forces said in a statement that the soldier was killed in a roadside bomb explosion in the country's east on Thursday. NATO did not elaborate on the location of the incident or the nationality of the dead soldier. According to the latest figures, more than 3,316 U.S.-led troopers have been killed in Afghanistan since the beginning of the occupation in 2001. And before we continue, here's a recap of our top stories. The Iranian presidential hopefuls are to hold their first face-to-face debate on Friday. Iran says dialogue is the only way to terminate Syrian crisis. Russia says opposition groups are provoking military intervention in Syria. Syrian army makes more advancements against foreign-backed militants. And a large number of people have lost their lives in a series of bomb explosions across Iraq. Now in Europe, a new survey says Greeks are much less satisfied among Europeans with their jobs because of low payment and harder working conditions. My colleague from Athens has this scoop.
According to a latest survey conducted by the OECD, Greek citizens are placed among the least satisfied people throughout the 36 member states of the organization. In addition, Greeks work more and longer hours compared to Eurozone citizens, but are paid less. These are the main conclusions of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development report that predictably bashes the up until now well-established perception of lazy and unproductive Greeks. In the specific survey, Greeks are the third least satisfied with their lives and well below the OECD country average for most indexes. In the same context, the economic crisis has taken a heavy toll not only on the financial well-being of Greeks, but also on the psychological perception of their lives. The only nations to be even less satisfied than Greeks are the Portuguese and the Hungarians. In a country where the top fifth of the Greek population in terms of income earns six times as much as the bottom 20%, the economic and social gap of the crisis is growing exponentially. According to the last official data, Greeks work an average of 2,032 hours per year against an average of 1,776 hours for the OECD member states and, surprisingly enough, 1,413 hours for the Germans, some 30% less than their Greek counterparts. Almost 5% of employees work very long hours, lower than the OECD average of 9%. This new data leaves European stereotypes crumpled and crisis hit Greeks psychologically and morally exculpated. Despite the popular belief that Greeks stay up all day sipping coffee with their friends like the ones right behind me, leaving their European counterparts working, this new report comes to change that opinion. According to official data, for those Greeks still employed, they work more and longer hours. Likos Romanos, Shabaka Kabar, Athens.
Now elsewhere in Europe, the Lisbon metro was shut down for 24 hours on Thursday as workers protested Portuguese government labor reforms and cuts in entitlements. The walkout heralds a spate of new strikes by public employees as the bailed-out country presses ahead with austerity plans amid a steep recession. Earlier this week, a senior European official said Portugal's compliance with the terms of its €78 billion bailout had earned it the goodwill of its international creditors, who remain committed to nursing the ailing Eurozone country back to health. Unemployment has climbed to 17.7%, and Portugal has struggled to meet deficit goals stipulated as part of the bailout.
They should at least ensure the minimum services, not only close to the metro, and let us here without transport.
And finally, if you are carrying a purse, you're essentially carrying a lot of bacteria around. According to a British study, about a third of women's handbags host more bacteria than toilets and also accommodates fecal bacteria. Here's more on that.
Who would say women's handbags could literally be walking bacteria bombs? British researchers confirmed this is not only true, but claimed that compared with a toilet, women's handbags contain more bacteria. This was published in a specialized website called Medical News Today. While some women seem surprised by this news, most of them think it's something easy to explain.
Women put their purses on the floor, and
he never does.
And now they have these little hooks that will fit on a table, and you can hook your bag onto the table so it doesn't go on the floor. But no, I had heard that handbags are, but this is cloth, goes in the washing machine. We've learned a lot from one of our daughters. She's a real clean freak. You know, clean your hands, take your shoes off when you go in the house.
The study ensures that hand creams and makeup, which many women carry, are ideal places for bacteria to grow inside purses. Experts describe the leather bags as those containing the higher levels of bacteria because the soft tissue acts as a breeding ground for germs. But women say there are ways of avoiding this, and there's even who presents interesting cleaning methods.
I clean with milk. The milk make the leather shines with the milk, and they clean it.
And do you think that the milk is good for
No, it's not for bacteria, just for cleaning the leather.
The authors and experts who did the study advise women to always carry with them cleaning wipes and antibacterial gel so they can wash frequently their hands. The best, however, is of course to always clean their bags. Inês Subtil, Shabaka Kebar, Lisbon.
Well, that's it for me now. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Goodbye.